2 Kings chapter 2, let's begin with verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Without a doubt, this portion of scripture is a typical representation of Christ and his church. Elijah is a picture of Christ, and Elisha is representative of his people, his followers. It has intrigued me that Elisha is Elijah's servant. Of course, he has in conversation with the prophets, their statements about Elijah being his master, his head, which indicates a servant-like spirit. It's intriguing to me as well that where you find Elijah, the master, you find Elisha, the servant, as well. They're inseparable. As far as we can tell, Elisha has not had a word from God about his future at this point. But as the servant of Elijah, he trusts God's revelation to Elijah or in Elijah. Of course, you and I must trust God's revelation in our Master, the Lord Jesus. It's all centered in Him, isn't it? Without Elijah, I might add, Elisha has no future. In fact, I think if Elisha lived in our day, he would enjoy the song, "Without Him, I Can Do Nothing." For he has no future and no promise apart from Elijah. One of the things that has warmed my heart as I have meditated upon this is that Elisha is so given to the role of a servant. The sons of the prophets, or can I say the brethren, did not in any way hinder him from going all the way with his master. You'll notice in verse number 6, we have these words, the last phrase reads, "And they two went on." Again in verse 11, we read in the opening statement, "And it came to pass as they still went on." I would like to use that as a springboard tonight, and as we come to the end of this year, 2005, and as we look at the path before us in a new year, I'd like to say some things for a few minutes about going on. Going on as his servants, or going on as servants. Thank God he's already gone before us. And we can follow in hope and in faith that he will work all things for his glory and for our good. Now, someone might say, "Well, I just don't know what this next year will hold." Well, he does. In fact, he's holding it. And so we can follow him. We can go on as his servant. Now, someone might say, "Well, we're going on." Well, certainly if we're God's redeemed people, we are going on. However, there are constant admonitions in the scripture for us not to become weary. Not to become laden down with circumstances in the journey. And so all I'm doing tonight is admonishing us in our perseverance to go on. To go on as his servants. Now, these verses basically give us a natural division, or if you prefer, a supernatural division. Let's begin by noticing that they were already in Gilgal. I don't feel like it's my assignment to give specific emphases concerning each one of these locations. Certainly there are lessons set forth, but I would begin by saying that as his servants, we're to go on to Gilgal. Elisha has not always been at Gilgal, but he has followed Elijah. Remember, Elijah laid the mantle upon him, and he became his servant. And he began to follow him. Burnt the bridges behind him, did he not? Here we see that he has gone on to Gilgal. Now, the name Gilgal means a rolling away. You remember where that name originated. When the children of Israel came across the Jordan into the Canaan land, they stopped at Gilgal. And not only did Gilgal become sort of a home base for their operations, after every campaign, after every battle, they came back to Gilgal. They returned Joshua and the people back to Gilgal. But the name means a rolling away, because here, all those men who had not been circumcised were circumcised. And the flesh was rolled away. Therefore, the name of this place was known as Gilgal. In simple spiritual terms, there is a dealing here with the flesh. There is bringing to the end of the self-life. That's the picture. Dealing with the flesh. Death to self. For lack of a better word, or for a better choice of word, I'm going to refer to this as going on to the place of consecration. Or if you prefer, going on to the place of the cross. For certainly, there's no way for you and me to deal with the flesh. It must be dealt with by virtue of the cross. Yeah, but Tom, you don't know what I've faced. You don't know what I've gone through this year. No, but we're called to go on to Gilgal. Some have never arrived at Gilgal. They're still full of themselves. They're still dominated by the flesh. The self-life rules. So we're called upon to go on to Gilgal, the place of consecration. Then, of course, Elijah said, "You stay here at Gilgal, and I'm summoned, I'm sent to Bethel." God has arranged another level for my life. I'm going to Bethel. And Elisha said, "And I'm going on with you. I'm not staying where I am. I am not remaining in this scene. I'm going on to Bethel." So we have a progression going from Gilgal to Bethel. You remember, of course, Bethel means B-E-T-H. Always in the scriptures refers to a house. Whether it's at the end of a name like Elizabeth or at the beginning of a word like Bethel, has to do with a house. Here, Bethel is the name for the house of God. This is where Jacob was met by God. And this is the place where Jacob was brought back into the presence of God. We do not worship a place tonight. Years ago, I was preaching in a Bible conference in my infancy. of experience. And I said some things about the house of God, the church. And the next speaker, who was well known and certainly not a newcomer to the conference speaking world, took 15 minutes of his time to set me straight. And he gave us a little lesson on, this is not the house of God. We are the house of God. Well, we are the house of God, but this building has been set aside for the worship of God. And if Jesus could call the temple in his day my Father's house, I'm not going to have any difficulty calling this church building the house of God. Certainly God has met us here on many occasions, has he not? Confronted us with who he is and who we are. And so the call to God's servants tonight on every level is to go on to Gilgal and then go on to Bethel. Gilgal being the place of consecration gives way to Bethel, the place of communion, where God's presence is experienced. I don't want to bog down, I want to keep moving, but there were a lot of things changed in that meeting place. Remember, Luz was the name of the place previously, which means a perverted place. Luz was transformed to Bethel when God manifested himself. I might add that a pillow became a pillar. God set up a memorial through Jacob. The rock that he'd used for a pillow became a pillar. P-I-L-L-A-R. I know here in our part of the world, they've never been pillows, they've been pillars. God changed a getter into a giver when he manifested his presence. And so Elisha follows his master to this place of communion. Have you gone on to that realm? Oh, I'm glad I'm part of a meeting like this, Brother Tom. Yes, but are we going on? Are we willing to stay at Bethel? Gilgal or Bethel, or are we going on? Notice in verses 4 and 5, Elijah said, well, Elisha, I want you to stay here. I have another assignment. The Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. I'm going on to Jericho with you. I'm going on. Remember when God showed his mighty power in the destruction of Jericho, when the walls fell flat, and when God saved Rahab with a mighty deliverance. This has been alive in me of late. You remember it's stated in the Authorized Version that she was saved to live. Rahab, saved to live. By the way, that's why God saved you and me, to live. To live unto him. To live unto his glory. But when God destroyed the city of Jericho, he said the man that rebuilt it it would become accursed. It had a curse upon it. Jericho, the cursed city. You see, Elijah is not only a picture of the consecrated Christ, and the Christ who communes with the Father, but he is the Christ who came into this cursed world, to a cursed race, the blesser himself. This blesses me. You remember Christ coming and sitting down at the well of Sychar, and the woman of Samaria coming out to meet him there at Jacob's well, as we know it. And she said to Jesus, "We worship in this mountain." There were two mountains, one on this side of Jacob's well and one on the other. One was the Mount of Blessing. The other was the Mount of Curse, Ebal and Gerizim. And she said, "We worship here in Mount Gerizim. This is our place." And of course, Jesus said, "Why, the time is coming and now is when you'll not worship me in this mountain, but they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. If we're not careful, we'll isolate one place and see it as the only place where we can meet God. He is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. That's why he can be just as real to you down at the house as he can in the church service. It's the reason he can be just as real to you on the job as he can in your daily devotion. But Elisha said, "If you're going to that cursed place, I'm going with you. I'm going on." And so he has gone on to Gilgal, the place of consecration. He has gone on to Bethel, the place of communion. Now he comes on to Jericho, the place of curse. This world is not a friend of grace to help us on to God, the old hymn writer said, is it? I don't know why we expect to get a few petitions together and get everybody to sign it, and the world say, "God bless you Christians, you're just wonderful people. I don't know how we'd get along without you." No, this is an accursed place. Yet, he calls us to go out here in this world of him. We're his ambassadors. We're his representatives in his physical absence. We are here to represent our King, the Lord Jesus. Of course, the prophets, this blesses me, even though Jericho was this cursed place, some of the prophets are going to school over here. It's the sons of the prophets. God can raise up a place of spiritual training right in the middle of hell's fires. Right in the front door of judgment. God can train his men. And here they are, and I must confess, they may have not got a diploma down there, but wouldn't that have been a wonderful place to have been trained? They said to Elisha, "Hey, he's leaving today. Did you know your master, your head, is going to be taken away?" Elisha said, "Yeah, I know it. Just be quiet. Don't interrupt me. I'm going on. I'm persevering. I'm going forward." And Elijah said in verse 6, Well, you stay right here at Jericho. I feel the Lord has sent me down to Jordan. And Elisha said, well, I'm going with you. Here it is, our emphasis. And they too went on. Went on. Going on to Jordan. Of course, they're going in somewhat of a reverse order to what the children of Israel did when they came into the land. I think the primary lesson here is that things had become backwards in the Israelites' thinking. There have been idolatrous practices, and they've worshipped false gods at Bethel. Things were in a mess. Now they come to the Jordan. From Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan. Whatever we say about the Jordan, we must call it the place of crossing. The place of crossing. This is where they went over. This is where the people, the children of Israel, identified with the waters of Jordan and entered into the land. I personally feel that the Jordan is more than a picture of death. It must be a picture of Christ's death. And as they cross the Jordan, it portrays you and me being identified with Christ. If you've come to the place of the crossing tonight, you can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Going on to Jordan. Seems to me we live in an hour where there are many who claim to be consecrated Christians. They seem to have gone on to Gilgal, and some of them even apparently meet with God in one fashion or another. They've gone on to Bethel, and evidently they are in the world. They speak of Jesus in this world. They've gone on to Jericho. But there is so much of me. So little of Christ. See me. Look at me. Hear me. Watch me. Follow me. If you go on to Jordan, there'll be less of you and more of Christ. Paul said, always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ also may be manifested in us. The place of crossing. Going on. Hey, this would be a good year for some of us to cross over. Cross out all that's of self and magnify Christ. This little verse has been special to me for some time. Paul said, as always, so now, Christ shall be magnified in my body. It wasn't something new to him. It's something that had been in the past and something that was vibrant in the present. It seemed to be something that was determined for the future. Christ shall be magnified. Verse number 7 shows that these prophets, the sons of the prophets, are watching. By the way, there are folks observing whether you're going on with God or not. And how far you're going on. While Elijah and Elisha stand by Jordan, verse 8 says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. They're going on. There's a going on to Gilgal, going on to Bethel, going on to Jericho, going on to Jordan now, going on to the other side of Jordan. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Following the type of Elijah as a portrait of Christ and Elisha as a portrait of the church. It is only as we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus that we too know the fullness of the blessed Holy Ghost. August Van Ryn called this to my attention as I'm meditated through some of his writings on Elijah and Elisha. It reminded me that the double portion was for the firstborn. Of course, Paul refers to the church as the firstborn. We have a right to the fullness of the Holy Spirit because of our relationship to Him, the Lord Jesus, our head. Going on to the other side of Jordan. And it was here that Elijah was taken away. He was caught out in a chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted from this earthly scene. And he went up into heaven in a whirlwind. I would like to live in my Christian life where the wind is blowing, the spiritual wind of the Spirit. But I tell you, when I leave, I'd like to live where the wind's blowing then, wouldn't you? I tell you, these bodies are so corrupt that apart from the grace of God, there's no telling what I'll say or what I'll do before I get out of this earth. Many on their deathbeds have made terrible statements. We have to take it all back to the garden, back to the fall. But wouldn't it be blessed to leave out of here in the wind? Elisha saw it, verse 12 says, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He would don the array of his master, but he would despise the garment of the flesh. Ripped it asunder. Verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Watch it now. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, we've seen that before. Now the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They came and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Forgive the repetition, but going on to Gilgal represents going to the place of consecration, the cross. Going on to Bethel speaks of the place, going on to the place of communion in the presence of God. Going on to Jericho portrays going on even out in this world that is accursed. Going on to Jordan speaks of crossing over into victory side. Going to the other side of Jordan is the place of conquest. When Elisha crossed the Jordan the first time, he did so because of Elijah's power. When he crossed the Jordan the second time, he did so because of Elijah's power. But it was represented in his line. The spirit of Elijah did rest upon Elisha. And he's just going on. Going on. Going on as his servants. Many of you heard him say it. Many of us have been influenced greatly by his life. Brother Joe Parsons was asked, well, Brother Joe, having a family, trying to keep your head above water. Brother Joe, how did you get through Mars Hill College? And Brother Joe said, one day at a time, brother. One day at a time. The call is for us to go on. May the Spirit of God impress our hearts with this principle. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.